Ladies and gentlemen, the best is yet to come.
Aha! Hit the drop.
Mike, do your job.
I don't have everything ready.
This is the Rich Eisen Show. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Hey, Rich, first time caller.
Is he still there? Mike Del Tufo, did you cut John off?
Earlier on the show, NFL Films senior producer Greg Cosell. Still to come. CBS sports announcer Ian Eagle. Hall of Famer Bill Walton. Actor Lil Rel Howery. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All righty, everybody. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We just went headfirst into the NFL draft. Why not? It's only a month to go. There's a lot of time between now and then, too, to talk about it, and we will. Two of my favorite guests coming on this hour, and I'm not just saying that because one's on hold about to join us. Ian Eagle of CBS and TBS and YES, right? Brooklyn Nets. There's a lot of S's. Bill Walton will be joining us, firmly planted on planet Earth, I'm told. He will be, I believe, calling the Final Four for Westwood One. Westwood One. I remember Westwood when I was there. I was the only one who had Final Four with five teams. Like, that's what it's going to be like, I think.
Rich, he's doing the pre-halftime and post-game.
It's a beautiful thing. Westwood One, and Westwood is in, and I'm calling him on Westwood One. There's a lot of West, there's a lot of Wood, there's a lot of One.
Rich, I mean,
where's my bicycle? Lil Rel Howery will be joining us in hour number three. But let's talk about March Madness. Let's talk some hoops. Let's talk about it again with one of my favorite guests. And you just see his versatility all the time, whether it's calling the Hail Murray, whether it is calling the buzzer beaters in March Madness, whether it is calling the action for the Brooklyn Nets, or just making some sort of cherry vanilla beverage sound like the most amazing item that could be ever consumed. Ian Eagle here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Ian?
Oh, it's a festival. It's Jerry Garcia. It's the teepee. It's Jaime Jaquez. It's all rolled into one joyous occasion.
I'm with you. I'm here, Rich.
There we go. Oh, my gosh. I got to tell you, I don't know if it's because it was a year missing it or what, Ian, but this tournament has just been amazing. I've loved every single second of it. What was it like? I know you've called many games and which teams that you have seen. Just walk everyone through, I guess, your experience for March Madness, if you don't mind. Macro here. What do you got for me?
You're right. There was that general sense of, thank goodness it's back. Thank goodness we had this again. And we missed it for a full year to not experience the highs and lows and the roller coaster ride. So my first game out of the gate was Ohio State against Oral Roberts.
How could I whiff on that one? Oh, my gosh. That was right out of the gate.
Yeah, so right out of the gate, and I'm doing my preparation, and the leading scorer in the country is a young man by the name of Max Asmus, but his name is spelled A-B-M-A-S. So the assumption is, it must be Abmas.
Of some sort, yeah.
So I get a few texts right out of the gate. Hey, I think you're butchering his name. It's A-B-M-A-S. And I like to return text during the action just to freak people out. I'm like, no, it's Asmus. I don't know why. I don't know how. It could be German, but it's not Abmas. So that's the first moment of the tournament for me this year. I'm working alongside Grant Hill in the first two rounds. And then Oral Roberts pulls off this incredible upset. And it's the reminder of why we love this month so much. Nobody knew anything about him, including myself. It's not like, oh, yeah, no, I've seen 9 Oral Roberts games during the year.
Right.
Fully prepared. No, I hadn't. I had to remind myself that they were the Golden Eagles. And then away we go. It's the journey of March. And you're right. I think it's been really entertaining. And the television presentation, it's felt like March Madness. It sounded like March Madness. It looks like March Madness. In person, it has been a little different and a little bit unique.
I imagine it must have been. The best team you saw with your own two eyes then is which team?
I saw Gonzaga, Rich.
Okay, so there you
have
it.
they're the truth. They are as good a team as I've seen in 23 years of doing this tournament. And I know that sounds like I'm just throwing out this platitude. It's real. They are so balanced. They are so skilled. They pass the ball well. They're very collaborative in how they play. Jalen Suggs could easily be the number one pick in the draft. He could be one. He could be two. He could be three. He's going to be a legitimate NBA player. Corey Kispert, conference player of the year. Drew Timmy has got. She's got the flexing. Joel Ayayi is just a fun name to say, and he's got the game to back it up. Andrew Nembhard was just a bonus. He was at Florida last year. They didn't even think he was going to be eligible. They figured it would be a transfer year, and they waiver the NCAA that fulfills it, and he gets to play, and he's the perfect fit. They're the best team that I saw.
Yeah, it does seem to be inevitable, but, you know, my alma mater got bounced by UCLA, which seems to be on a totally different, to use the Walton phrase, different planet, different plane, different essence, different sort of spirit. There, you know, it just seems to be what they've got going on. They're so terrific defensively and making the plays that they need to. I don't know if they can pull it off over the weekend, but I don't put it past them. I really can't, right? I mean, I can't, Ian. What are you?
Johnny Juzang.
It's
Shanatova.
I'm Happy in. New Year to Johnny Juzang. He dropped, by the way, just for all the for all the non-Jews in the room, which is everyone else, it's Passover, okay? So
right.
He's even mixing his Jewish holiday metaphor, but I still love it, Ian, I still love it. I understand.
Thank
I pick
you,
it up.
Sir.
You're welcome.
Whatever came to mind. I just tried to pick my inner Bill Walton in the moment. It doesn't have to make sense.
That's true.
Exactly.
My bad.
It doesn't
my bad.
Sense.
Issue. My bad.
It does not make
sense. Yeah, I worked at that UCLA-Alabama game, which might have been the best game of the tournament. And it just showed you their resilience because another team might have just folded in overtime after getting the life sucked out of them at the end of regulation, giving up a three-pointer at the buzzer. Jim Spanarkle, who I'm doing the game with, he makes a point in every meeting that we have with the head coach. The last question he asks is, okay, coach, 5 seconds left. You're up by three. What do you do? He asks it to every coach we talk to in the NCAA tournament. And they share their philosophy. I'm a foul guy. I'm a non-foul guy. They'll give you a story. Back in 1994, I decided not to foul, and this is what happened. Or in 98, I decided to foul, and then we lost the game. X, Y, and Z happened. So Mick Cronin doesn't pause and says immediately, I'm a foul guy. We look to foul. We're going to foul. So that exact scenario is set up. And they didn't end up fouling, just the way that Alabama handled it, getting it up the floor in a hurry, and Reese getting a clean look to send the game into overtime with a beautiful three-pointer. You figure, okay, now UCLA, the slipper is gonna crack. The clock is striking midnight. It's over. They were better in overtime. They carried it over to the Michigan game, as you saw. I'm sorry about that, Rich.
It's all good.
But they have a little magic going right now. There's no doubt about it.
Well, I mean, speaking of magic, Ian, I know you were on the call of the first Michigan game of the tournament, and so I could not help but catch your Megan Thee Stallion reference. Let's be honest, who gave you that one going into the game?
Nobody.
Was that yours? Was that
nobody.
Yours?
Nobody.
Come on now.
No, I do all my own research. My daughter is on TikTok. My daughter actually has a number of followers. She has an account called @InTheseJeans.
Okay.
And she's in the 160,000 follower range.
Whoa,
for a fashion
whoa,
account.
Whoa.
Yeah,
whoa.
No. This is no side gig. Like, this is a real deal thing. And I obviously will watch and consume the content that she's putting out there. And there's a lot of music behind the fashion. And one of the songs that she has used over the course of her posts is body yaddy 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 yaddy. body, yada, yada, yada. So it's ingrained in my head. I'm very familiar with Megan Thee Stallion and every other musical artist that's on the current top 40 list.
So when you get prior to the broadcast, or was it just something that leapt out when you saw her name on the screen as one of the famed Texas Southern alums along with Michael Strahan? Is that,
yes.
Or was that something you're like, I'm going to do this? I mean, walk me through the process of your magic eye.
Yes.
What is that? How does that
process.
Work?
You grapple in your brain. Will America get it? Will they like it? Will they enjoy it? The reality was it was somewhere in the deep recesses of my brain, and I didn't know if I was going to go with it or not. It really had to do with whether or not the game was intriguing at that point, and fortunately, there was some time, and I let it rip. Why not?
Why not?
YOLO, Iron Eagle, YOLO. No question about
exactly.
that. So let's talk about the Brooklyn Nets. Just to let you know, a little scoop here. I've been bought out. I'm now going to play for the Brooklyn Nets. I don't know how I'm going to contribute. But
you'll be a screener. Well, be a good screener.
I could do that.
Screener.
I could set at least a screen and maybe live to tell about it. You know, if it took Blake Griffin 3+ weeks to get into conditioning, for Steve Nash, I might not play till the 2021-22 season, but. What?
Fine.
I mean, my gosh, LaMarcus Aldridge comes and shows up like he's LaMarcus Aldridge. So how does this work? I mean, this is an all-star team, obviously. Ian, what is your take on all of this?
Yeah, my take. I've done the games for a long time, 27 years, so I've seen different iterations of the team and how the franchise has been perceived. The reality is they were an afterthought for so many years. They were mocked for being a team that was irrelevant. Jason Kidd leads them to back-to-back finals. They get a little uptick in interest, but it wasn't sustainable. Then they hit rock bottom. And they start to build through the draft and make some prudent moves and player development. And Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, Spencer Dinwiddie, Joe Harris, all of these guys clearly improved during their time in Brooklyn. And even then, I think people would jump on the narrative that, yeah, but you're not going to sign any big free agents. No one's going to come to Brooklyn. And then they do. They sign Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. They acquire James Harden in the deal early in the season. And now the reaction that I've seen from a bunch of people, and this is part of it, you understand, this is part of the fodder of the NBA, is, yeah, but that's not fair. Like, you shouldn't be able to do that. The goal is to win a championship. And the Nets clearly are going championship or bust. And all the moves that they've made so far appear to be working. The chemistry is really good. The guys genuinely like each other, and there is an objective in mind. They believe they can win the whole thing. And whatever of the areas that people thought they weren't going to be up to the level expected defensively, can they guard Joel Embiid? Well, now they've got bodies. They've got body yaddy yaddies.
Nicely done.
Well done.
Nicely done.
Thanks.
You know, Durant is like, somebody's got to tell him he's not picking the All-Star game. It's not like Team Durant anymore, like versus Team LeBron. I mean, it could wind up being that way, you know, when the Larry O.B. is on the line. But, you know, and what you just said about the history of the Nets has kind of struck me. You know, I'm from Staten Island. You are somebody from Queens. You know, you've been around New York for a long time, having not only worked for the Fan, but before all of this, you know,
sure.
Getting screamed at by Jimmy Connors, if I'm not mistaken, is a ball boy.
He did.
Okay,
he did. Yeah, he
aired you out at the U.S.
One.
Open.
Yes.
Yep. In the old spot that the U.S. Open used to be in. So I'll ask this question, even though we're talking nationally: do you think the Nets would do all this, or would be able to do all this, if they were still on Long Island and not Brooklyn? What do you think?
Probably not.
I bet.
And look, I've been through this in my own head, because when it was announced that they were leaving New Jersey and going to Brooklyn, my first thought was, well, why? Why? Why would you do that?
Right.
Why would you try to infiltrate an area that already has an established fan base? So I didn't see the bigger picture. I thought, hey, stay in your lane. just do your thing in Jersey, try to build up the fan base here in the Garden State. And I was wrong. It has been the best thing to happen to this organization, and it has put them on the map, and it has made them a player in all this. No, I don't think Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and James Harden, I don't think the interest is there for them to be a part of this thing unless it was in Brooklyn. There is something about that part of the equation.
Yeah, I know, and I mentioned Long Island, which is where they were with Dr. J before they went to New Jersey. And so, yep. I mean, just put it all together, and they're right there, right in Dolan land. And, you know, the Knicks are 500, but the Nets are the hot team. So I'm looking forward to seeing how all this gets played out. And you know, you do hear the that's unfair. I'm somebody who's sitting here saying the NBA's got to do something about all of these top-notch players that suddenly become free in the middle of the season because teams buy them out, because everyone knows that they're not going to get traded. So it just I don't know what the fix is. It's kind of like a different version of load management, if you think about it. I don't know if there is a fix.
It is, and certainly I've been in the position from another angle of watching other teams do it, and the frustration that pops up when you see a team that just fortifies itself as they get ready for a championship run, and you're in a different market and say, well, that just can't happen here. They don't either have the financial wherewithal to do it, or there just isn't the interest. Could this happen in Sacramento? Could this happen in Orlando? Could this happen in other places? I don't know. I think that's what the NBA is going to have to answer. There's no doubt this is now an issue, but you do play by the rules, and the rules clearly state that this is legal. These players can go where they want to go as long as their former teams have decided financially that they're done with them.
So before I let you go, Ian, what do you think happens Final Four? And Monday night, you called Houston beating Oregon State to make it. So what do you got for me? What do you think?
Yeah, I like this Houston team. I think their defensive intensity, their rebounding off the charts, impressive. Offensively, there are stretches where they just can't generate offense like the other teams that are left. I think Baylor might be a little bit better version of Houston. So if you're asking me who would give Gonzaga the best matchup and the most competitive game, I think Houston could probably muck it up enough against Gonzaga. I don't think they would win, but I think it could be competitive. But I'm not convinced Houston is beating Baylor, and I don't believe UCLA is beating Gonzaga. And at that point, you're asking me for a champion. I think it's the perfect season. I think it's history, undefeated, and I think Mark Few has his first championship, and this Gonzaga team takes its rightful place amongst some of the great teams that we've seen over the last 25-plus years.
And I saved the most hard-hitting question for last. Your favorite flavor of zero-sugar beverage is what? What is it? And your best read, what was it this entire tournament? What do you got?
Orange Vanilla Coke. Perfect in March Madness.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ian Eagle. Play us out. We did it live. Thanks for the call, Ian. Always appreciate it. Just a great run on the tournament. And look forward to hearing the Nets calls and so much more from you. Truly appreciate the call.
Yeah, and please,
yes,
Rich, take some time. Check out Chad on TNT.
Do you just walk around the house with these cards? Is that what you do? Just to stay fresh? Is that what it is? Oh, fantastic. And best of the TikTok.
I have Chuck Lorre on the other line.
Ladies and gentlemen. Hey,
yeah, the chat with Chuck Lorre.
Take care, Ian. You're the best, man. Thanks for the call. Here you go. That's Ian Eagle, everybody. All right, we'll take a break, take your phone calls, get you set for Bill Walton. Oh, my God. That was great. Here comes Bill Walton down the pike. 844-204-RICH. We'll take your calls when we come back on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Our phone lines are lit, and I think part of the reason is people want to talk to Mike Del Tufo, and unfortunately for us, because our call screener, Adam Chudwin, is out for the day, Mike can't just quickly get the information and then get back to his work.
No, it's
just
a lot of work.
You're very chatty. You're like, hey, how are you? Oh,
it's
great idea. I like it.
Want.
How's your mother?
You got to ask.
Say hi to your mother for me.
It's Adam's got a little bit of a job back
people
there.
People want to talk to Mike.
Mike's a very friendly guy. Whenever we go out, when we're at the draft or we're at the Super Bowl, everyone's always coming up and saying hello, and he gives them a few minutes of his time. He's very generous.
By the way,
great question for you from one.
Before we get to the phone lines, there is some news about Jalen Hurts.
There is.
Oh, you want to know what it is? Don't worry, I'll do it.
Do it.
Jalen Hurts has decided to change his number from 2 to 1.
No way.
Yes.
Really?
Oh. The Eagles have announced.
Do you think it's because?
Yes. How is it not like
yes.
Wentz,
because Wentz is wearing 2?
And he's going to go to, I don't know.
It has to, and he just doesn't want to be associated all year
change
with the number 2?
Change the uniform number to number 1.
Oh,
he is not
gosh,
the 2. He's now
amazing.
1. He's now QB number 1. He's QB 1, literally, figuratively, however you want to put it.
Well,
last person wearing number 1 was just last 3 of Cameron Johnston, the punter. Very, very bold to do this with Eagles fans. Cody Parkey's worn the number 1 before.
Uh-oh.
And then other kickers and punters.
Oh, my goodness.
First, looks like first quarterback in Eagles history to wear number 1. Jalen Hurts, go for it. Didn't have to ask
the
receiver for it.
Just not a coincidence.
That Wentz changes his number from 11 to 2 because Michael Pittman says, I'm not coughing up the 11 to you.
Right.
And so he goes to 2. Yeah, or pardon me, it's for anyone, I guess.
But just the way you said it.
It is, because no, the way it went down is like, again, if Tom Brady shows up in Indianapolis and says, I want your number, you give it up.
Give it up.
There
you go,
Tom. Godwin told us on the air that Brady never even asked for it. He's like, of course I'm not going to wear number 12. But Wentz comes in, I've seen what's going on. I'm wearing 11, even though I've worn it just 1 year here. You go find another number. He changes it to 2, and now all of a sudden Hurts is like, yeah, I'm number 1.
Well, he wore 1 in Oklahoma, so maybe he was trying to.
You know what? Great. That was years ago.
There may be some connective tissue prior to this moment that makes him want to change to 1.
I like the story we're concocting right now.
Wait, hold on. I'm trying to see what he wore 2 in Alabama.
Yeah, he wore 2, and then he changed the 1 at Oklahoma. So
I don't know, man.
He does not want to have any association with Carson Wentz. Let alone the jersey number.
Right.
I agree.
Wow.
Could you imagine if Nate Sudfeld had number one and Nate's like, yeah, I'm just going to keep it.
Oh.
Just like the fourth quarter. Game 256.
Wow.
There you have it. Big news out of Philadelphia. Number news. Read into it what you wish. Because we sure are. Let's go to Pete in Richmond, Virginia. We heard you getting checked in, Pete, because Mike's a very loud checker-inner. What's up, Pete?
No, gentlemen. Hello, Mr. Eisen.
Yes, sir.
Chris Brockman.
What's up, Pete?
TJ, come on down, Jefferson.
Oh, and you know
and
this.
Mike, heartbeat of the show, Del Tufo. Oh, hey, how are you doing? Wow. Captain.
Wow.
Real quick, gentlemen, two questions. Well, for you, Rich, a statement. Why do you want to get rid of old Sammy D? Give the kid a chance. You have a chance to hold up to the draft and give Atlanta or Carolina to just give you the world to build your team around this kid. Number two, in the new season in the 17 games, has anybody given thought to the incentives that are in the contracts for players for yardage totals, touchdown totals, things like that? Are all those being worked, or do they get an extra game now to get their incentive?
Well, I will ask that question of somebody in the know. I'm imagining it'll still just be maybe a 16-game incentive for the time being in every contract from here on out. We'll have to reflect the new reality.
Right.
But here's the deal. Let me ask you a question, Pete. You don't sound like you're from Richmond, Virginia. Where are you from originally, Pete?
No, I'm born and raised here in Richmond, Virginia.
God bless you then. Okay. So then let me just tell you a little bit of something about the New York sports reality in the world, okay, of living up there. Is that Sam, despite having all this stuff work against him, defensive-minded coach Todd Bowles gets fired, in comes Adam Gase, who absolutely doesn't do anything for him like what Peyton Manning might say what Gase did for him or Cutler did for him. And, you know,
don't do me no favors.
No, you know what I mean? And then the general manager gets switched up on him. The weaponry isn't even close to being able to evaluate him. And then there's the whole mononucleosis, seeing ghosts, double dip of Monday Night Football, right? So none of it really is helpful for Sam, and he deserves better. But the reality of it is this. There's a new coaching staff coming in. If you then, and there's enough pressure going on, if you saddle, if you will, this new coaching staff with having to fix Sam Darnold, and they don't, and it's just even a half year in, and you watch Zach Wilson go crazy in San Francisco for his new coach in Kyle Shanahan, who knows, based on how we're hearing from everybody's evaluation of quarterbacks, might be just like actually hitting his knees every night saying, boy, wouldn't that be a cherry on top for our trade if Zach falls to us at 3 overall because the Jets decide to stick with Sam or trade. Or they might even get Zach because they might trade out and whoever somebody goes to get Zach Wilson and that guy succeeds somewhere else. Why would you saddle Robert Saleh with that? I'd rather have him be, if you will, saddled with a new quarterback who starts from scratch. You don't have to make a decision on whether giving him a fifth-year option the next year. You don't have to deal with any of that stuff.
He's starting from scratch with the same non-weaponry.
Well, I mean, you're...
So what good is that going to do?
No, you're bringing in Corey Davis, and you're bringing... It doesn't matter, because there's also some sort of a honeymoon going on with a young quarterback that everybody expects that he's not going to be 9-10 wins going on and trying to win a playoff game. It's just that if Darnold doesn't progress, then it's on the new coach. That alone, along with how talented this kid might be... To me, thinks, and Darnold just deserves, go and send him someplace where he will succeed. Go send him somewhere where he deserves to go, you know?
The other side of that coin is, what if you send him somewhere else and Darnold shines?
Then, you know what, man?
Because he's given the line. He's given the weapons. His number one, you know, it's just, I just think you might give him a shot. But I have one more question for Mr. T.J. Jefferson. I'm going to hang up, guys. Hey, T.J., when you won all your prizes, did they let you take them home that day, or do you have to wait till the 4th to get them?
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh,
you know.
Pete.
Later, guys.
Take it easy, Pete.
Have a great weekend,
guys. See you, buddy.
That's very good, Pete. You know, I think we'll find that out on May the 4th, Pete. We'll find out exactly what happened.
See, he can't even say, even if he got a nice parting gift, because that means he didn't win anything.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, even if he got the Z-Brick or the Lee Press-On Nails, if he comes in work with some new Lee Press-On Nails, or suddenly his corner that he's sitting in, that he keeps on, you know, I guess, decorating with all of his own personal belongings. If he suddenly has some sort of like new siding, a new oven, and it shows up there, then we'll know he didn't win.
A new lazy boy over there.
Well, a lazy boy is something you actually win. That's not a party gift. That's something you have got to bid on.
That's something he bid on because he guessed six. He was with $1. I bet $1. Come on, you know.
Lazy boy.
He can't say anything.
I know.
You look at him. He's like,
could you imagine that man that's right there?
Both.
Yes. Could you imagine the man that's sitting there right now?
The man.
Smiling right now is a man who won both showcases. Could you imagine
two cars, a boat, a catamaran?
Or
a trip to Tahiti.
He's one of the guys who never got to contest in this row. There were 12 people there. There's only 9 spots. There are 3 people on that day who are like, thanks for coming by, but you got to meet Drew Carey. Here's some nice parting gifts for you. T-shirt.
I got a name tag.
You got a name tag. There it is.
Name tag.
From Monaco to El Segundo.
Mayfourth can't get here quick enough.
By the way, that's a good tease because Anthony Anderson, as you know, is one of the many famous people who have a gap in his teeth.
Oh,
yeah. And we have to hit the Strahan situation later on in this program.
By the way, the Strahan.
Because I mean,
situation.
You want to talk about a called shot? I mean, we have to hit that.
Wow.
But we also have to be on time for Bill Walton. Oh, there you go. They're all down. There's Drew Carey pointing at TJ, who's you've got the sort of shrug emoji. We don't know how you've done right now.
Rich, you got to move on.
No, not at all. May the 4th be with us.
Nobody.
We're going to be on the air when it airs. Although, wait a minute, it'll already have aired on the East Coast by the time we come on the air here.
Is that how that works?
Can we get an East Coast feed of The Price is Right to watch prior to our show?
Watch like pre-show?
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, let me text Drew real quick. Hold on.
Hey, very good.
Wow.
Let me tell you, no one's more aggravated by this, you'll find out May the 4th, than Linda Jefferson.
Oh, your mom? You didn't tell your mother? You didn't even tell her?
My mom can't keep a secret, man. So, no. I didn't.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, my mom would be the first person I'd call.
She was the first person I called. And then the noise she made when I was like, I'm not telling you. She's like, she's so mad.
But no, wow. I mean
TJ be on the top.
TJ Jefferson, talk about vaulting it. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Good for you.
Jefferson wins big.
Chris, you've got Mel Brockman would have called Mary in 2 seconds flat and told her, hey, Mom, you got a car.
I got your car.
Like I said, I did call her, but I did not reveal.
You got a new sedan. You got a new Barker lounger. Don Bowie with the line.
He went directly to you on that one.
Yeah, that was not all
Brockman would have asked his mother to pay the taxes for him. You only roast the ones you love.
I would have, though.
And there's a germ of truth in everything. Let's take a break. We'll be back with Bill Walton. Oh, great shot there. Stepbrother shot of me with Bill Walton. I must have that for my Instagram. Oh, well done, Smitch. Well done. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, the Final Four is this weekend. If you want to listen to it on our friends at Westwood One. Jim Gray and Bill Walton are going to be part of the Westwood One pregame, halftime, and postgame coverage of the men's Final Four and the national championship. You can hear the broadcasts on over 400 stations nationwide. Go online to westwoodonesports.com to listen there too, or find out where you can listen to it. Pregame coverage begins tomorrow at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. The one, the only, the Hall of Famer, Bill Walton, here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Bill?
Yeah, here we go. I'm alive. I'm married to Lori. She's still here. I haven't broken any Tesla windshields today. I'm on the Rich Eisen Show. Yes. So what could be better? It's a beautiful day in Southern California. It's a wonderful opportunity to celebrate the greatness of all that we have and to lift the spirits of those in need, to ease the pain and the burden, and come together as a team, as a community, and with the collective sense of effort and purpose, and let's get this thing going right now. The Final Four.
Yes!
The women tonight, man, incredible. You got the early game, Arizona and UConn. Yep. Oh, my gosh, Adia Barnes. She's from our hometown, San Diego, here. Gino is just absolutely spectacular. Dawn Staley, I've known her forever, South Carolina. And then Tara at Stanford. This is going to be incredible. And then tomorrow, you got the men. You got the early game with Houston, I love Cougars, and then the Baylor Bears, growling, and then Gonzaga, UCLA, let's play. What do we have to wait for? My goodness gracious, yes, the moment of truth that we're all anticipating so much. We wanted to be there, but as the great champion has to be,
yes,
you've got to be patient, and you've got to wait for the start before you come out with a volcanic explosion, which is pretty much the way the Gonzaga Bulldogs play every time, and UCLA better be ready from the first tap, because we saw what happened with USC, and USC, what a remarkable team and season they had, and all the players and the coach and the whole USC community. I believe that's where I broke your windshield.
Yes, that was.
Oh, my gosh.
On the campus at USC for the Katy Perry video. By the way, I don't know if you're aware, Bill, can you get the number of people who have actually downloaded that video on YouTube, who has actually seen it? It's in nine figures, Bill. It is easily the most viewed thing I've ever done, was that video that you and I shot at USC for Katy Perry.
That was a fantastic day. Just a joy and a privilege and a thrill and an honor. I've done a lot of things in my life, but few things rank, rate, or compare with that. I don't really try to get into that. I just try to enjoy every moment, as I hope these ball players do, both the men and the women's side.
Yes.
But when I got to be with you, when I got to sit there, and someone who I grew up watching, someone who I just grew up dreaming that I could one day do something the way with my life, the way that Rich Eisen has been able to do with his. Because as a lifelong stutterer, it is so difficult. Speaking is my biggest challenge. Athletics, basketball, that was the easiest part of my life. And then academics, that was next, straight-A student. But, man, that's orthopedic health challenges, 39 operations, all the replaced parts, all the fusions. But even more so than that was the speech impediment. And to have you in my life, to have Chick Hearn in my life, to have Bob Costas and all the guys that we've worked with, Ralph Lawler and Chick Hearn, and just the amazing number of people I've come across. When you and I got together that day with Katy Perry at the Gaylord Center, I had reached the top of the mountain. It was absolutely the pinnacle. And I've been trying to duplicate, replicate, get back to that top. I'm struggling. I'm working my way back up. I'm trying to get there. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play today.
Well, it's funny you say mountain, because the mountain was also there in the video, too. I've never been around somebody almost as big as you, Bill. And that was in 635 million people have seen that video that we did that day.
Wait a second.
Yes.
Wait a second.
Yes, sir.
You're saying that 635 million?
Yes. Have on YouTube alone seen that video.
That's on its way to a billion.
Yes, it's correct. That is correct. That is correct.
I've been dealing with lots of billions lately. I just finished last night this incredible book, The Wizard and the Prophet by Charles Mann. Please check it out. It's this remarkable story of life.
and history and science and technology and biology and genetics and ecology. And it's just fantastic story and incredible research and depth. Charles Mann, the wizard and the prophet, and you're kind of both. You are the wizard and the prophet because you deliver and you deal. And I remember, I think the last show we were on, we were doing something for the pandemic to raise money for Feeding America. And here it was. And you and I and Snoop Dogg and Deion Sanders, and we had just an incredible fundraiser there. It was fantastic what we did just to be a part of something special. And I've learned so much from all of you guys. I'm truly the luckiest guy in the world.
Bill Walton here on the Rich Eisen Show, part of Westwood One's coverage of the Final Four. Is it true you and Kareem
are... Howard Dendroff, how lucky are we? I mean, this is like... I got to marry Lori. I had the greatest parents in the world. Every coach and teacher I had as a child was a John Wooden, Chick Hearn disciple. I got to know Chick Hearn. I got to play for John Wooden. I know Rich Eisen, and now I work with Jim Gray and Howard Dendroff. I mean, I am the luckiest dude on earth.
I'm thrilled. And is it true you and Kareem are having a chit-chat that's going to air during the broadcast?
Oh, yeah, we got a lot of things going on. Now, last night, make sure we get back to that.
Sure.
Last night, the UCLA basketball alumni all got together on a big Zoom conference call, and it was just a gigantic love fest. And there, Kareem led the way. Tyus Edney in the athletic department now at UCLA. He organized the thing. Mike Warren, Lucius Allen, Jamal Wilkes, Marcus Johnson, Greg Lee, Andy Hill.
Wow.
It was just Andre McCarter, Pete Turgovich. It was absolutely a tremendous time. And we're so thrilled. We're so excited, inspired, proud, and happy for these guys, these new guys who are just playing so tough and so wonderful. I was there in Oakland in 2006 when UCLA was just hammered and pounded by Gonzaga in the NCAA tournament, and we were ready to leave. We were ready to get up and get out of the building because it was getting kind of embarrassing. And then I leaned to Lori and I said, you know what, if we get up and leave early here, they're going to put us on TV, and that's going to just not be good for UCLA. So let's stick it out. And so in the closing moments, UCLA scores the last 11 points of the game.
Right.
And Adam Morrison, who's a great friend and a wonderful player and college player of the year, he's on the floor crying in sadness and disbelief. We're looking at each other, and we can't figure out, did the Bruins really win this game? What happened? What just happened? And then it was late. And it was in Oakland. There was no place to go. We were starving, so we ended up at a Mexican restaurant in the Mission District of San Francisco. And we, all night, man, everything was flowing. We closed the place down. We opened it up the next morning, and we taught the mariachi band the UCLA fight song. It was awesome.
I mean,
I didn't talk about Kareem. Yeah, so later, we're getting ready. Kareem and I are going to do a show for Howard and Jim.
So give me, you haven't had the conversation yet, Bill Walton here on the Rich Eisen Show, but what will that conversation be about? You and Kareem talking about this current team and obviously reliving some glory days that Bruins fans.
What we're trying to do is try to recreate what it was like to be part of UCLA and the team and the history and the dynasty of John Wooden and Chancellor Young and J.D. Morgan, the incredible athletic director, and Ducky Drake, who were the four pillars of the athletic community there at UCLA for so long. And if you've ever seen that HBO documentary called The UCLA Dynasty, it's really a spectacular program in terms of, because most of the things that have dealt with John Wooden and UCLA have been on his impact on people's lives over the course of what happened to them, us, after we left UCLA. But this was about the time. This was about Sidney Wicks, and this was about Kareem and Lucius Allen and Mike Warren and Cale Goodrich and Walt Hazard and Jamal Wilkes and Greg Lee and Henry Bibby and Marcus Johnson and Dave Myers, who sadly passed away. But all these incredible players, and Larry Hollyfield and Larry Farmer, and it was just so fun. So we're going to try to share and create what that experience was like and then transition it to today and how thrilled and overjoyed we are with Mick Cronin. What he has done is simply the greatest story ever told. And we needed a miracle, and we got a miracle here. Now we're on the crest of a wave where paradise waits, but we have an unbelievable opponent in front of us. Because Gonzaga, they are special. and they are a team for the ages. And this guy, Mark Few, so very similar to John Wooden and to all the players that they have. Come on. I was sitting there. I watched the Conference of Champions every single night, and all these terrific teams. And there should have been eight teams in the Conference of Champions, but Stanford and Arizona State were just bedeviled by injuries, and Arizona was not eligible for the tournament. And so we still got five, and I think, four of them went to the Elite Eight, and now one of them is still alive in the Final Four, and then two in the women's side. So it's just been a fantastic year. And I watched the Conference of Champions, and I just, I've been on USC's bandwagon, driving the train all season long of how great they are. And they came out, and Gonzaga, they just made them look like they weren't even ready to play. And that's what great teams do. They define the terms of the conflict, and that's what UCLA is challenged to do, is to not let Gonzaga just run and flow. I mean, Gonzaga, it's like the Columbia River coming down. It's like Celilo Falls before they put the Dalles Dam up there and took away the Indians' fishing spots. And it was just such a beautiful, beautiful place up there in the Northwest with Coeur d'Alene and the Gorge and all these different magnificent volcanoes and lava flows. And now you've got this Gonzaga team, which UCLA is up against. And Gonzaga is a team for the ages. And this is going to be the ultimate challenge. But what great champions do, I mean, think of what Muhammad Ali did. Remember his book in the late 70s? I think it was just called The Greatest. Mm-hmm. And it opened with in the ring in Africa against George Foreman in the first round. And that was like the first paragraph right. of the book. And Muhammad Ali, who was supremely confident and just the greatest of all time in terms of his impact on the world, and he goes in there, and all of a sudden he finds himself all by himself against George Foreman, and then everything had to change. But as the great champions do, they make the other team play their game. They turn them to become irrelevant cannon fodder, and that's generally what Gonzaga has been able to do to all of their opponents this year. I just love the way they play. I love their culture, style, and identity. Everything about them is just over-the-top fantastic. Their players, Timmy, Suggs, Ayayi, Corey Kispert, Nembhard, and then Watson, and they just keep coming. They're totally interchangeable, and they remind me so much of the Boston Celtics in the early 70s, one of the great teams ever. Cowens, Havlicek, Silas, Nelson, JoJo White, Don Chaney from the Houston Cougars, Elvin Hayes, and then he either had Paul Westphal or Charlie Scott. It also reminds me of a classical music symphony. Maybe it's Tchaikovsky. Maybe it's Mozart. Maybe it's Beethoven's Crashing Thunder. But whatever it is, it's a whole group, a whole team in unison following the coach's lead. It's almost like it is like being in the pit at a Grateful Dead concert when they have broken into the songs of today. Help on the Way, Slipknot, Franklin's Tower, St. Stephen, the 11th. Let's get going. Let's drive this thing over the top, get in our own volcanic explosion, and let's see who can play, who's got a game, and who's ready to go.
And you got a ticket. You don't need a miracle. You got a ticket. You're going for Westwood One.
I got a ticket on Westwood One with Howard Dendron.
That's right. Jim Gray.
I got a seat next to Jim Gray, who's just going to be working the phone, who's going to be everywhere with everybody. It's going to be a terrific show there. We want to salute all these great athletes who have worked so hard. We wish that everybody's going to be safe, and we just hope that we can get the equity on the women's side that they deserve. And that it's on our soul. It's a stain and stigma that is just unfair and not right at all. And
no
we're willing
doubt.
To stand up. We're willing to kneel down. We're doing it. Willing to take any steps necessary to get them what they deserve. And when I see this women's team play, boy, Stanford is just over the top.
No, and I agree with you too. Bill Walton here on the Rich Eisen Show.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.